Matthew chapter 6. I'm just going to read one verse out of chapter 6 for our message today. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Loving God, praise God today that our God is our Father, our Heavenly Father. And we've been instructed in the Word of God to call you our Heavenly Father, because we are now the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We can call you our Father. Thank you for salvation. Bless those unable to be in the service today. You know for what reasons. We pray for each and every one, both here or there. Bless your word to our hearts today. Our Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was greatly blessed to be raised in a Christian home with a Christian father and mother. They were Christians before I was ever born. I've often wondered why I was so blessed when I see so many people that did not have that blessing that I had. And that troubles me. Why was I so blessed? What is so great about being raised in a Christian home is that this is the will of God for all of us. God wants all of us to be raised in a Christian home. Not only me, but for all people everywhere. And when you step back and look at the world today and see how few are really raised in a Christian home. I'm talking about a Christian home, not just the name of being a Christian. However, most people have not had this blessing. My father had us in the fields in the spring, in the summer, and in the fall of working 6 days a week. We never caught up. There was always something to do on that farm. In the wintertime, we had to gather corn, cut wood, and cut ditch banks. Then we'd go at the pack house if it was raining and shuck corn to make meal or feed for the animals. We never had a day off. We had animals to feed morning and evening and a cow to milk twice a day. So I can say my dad taught all of us children to work, and we all worked hard. My dad never abused any of us. Seemed like that's all we can hear about nowadays is children being abused by their parents. My dad never abused any of us. In fact, most of the discipline my mother did, because I guess she had more of that nature about her. But she knew how. She kept them peach trees plumbed, amen, or pruned. As we got older as a family, Dad got a radio program for my sister to sing on WTSB there in Lumberton on 5th Street. It was actually uptown at one time when we were on the when she was on the radio. And a little bit later, Daddy went over to the WAGR, which was a more powerful station when they opened up, and he got the whole family on a Saturday at 1 o'clock radio program. And Daddy, he'd play the guitar or the steel guitar, one or the other. Junior, he would play the mandolin. My young brother, he would beat on the guitar case because we didn't have no drums. Me and my sister, we played acoustic guitars. I still meet people from time to time that remember when we were on the radio, back when we were growing up in high school. But Daddy did that to keep the family together. He liked music. And so he taught us children how to make some chords on the guitar. We'd sing and make a racket, I guess. Dad was also very conservative. Very conservative person. You better not leave no cotton in the field when you were picking cotton. You better get it all. When we cropped it back, we had to put it on our arms and spoon it like, leaf on leaf. None of this throwing it under the arm like most people in the country. Daddy wouldn't put up with that. Spooned that backer. My dad never hunted or fished enough to say he did it. He stayed home, and when he was not in the field, followed a mule. And later, we were nearly grown, I guess, before we ever got a tractor. Daddy was, when he'd come out of the field, he'd get his old guitar and sit there and sing to Mama, us young'uns, every day. And another thing, Daddy wouldn't let us half do our work. We had to do it right. Daddy was stricken that way. My dad would not allow us boys to play baseball on Sunday away from home. He let us play in the cow pasture. And if you have never played in the cow pasture, you missed a lot of fun. But again, I can say he was a very good father. Today, there's a breakdown in our society as the family is under great satanic attack, and that's what it is. Satanic attack against the home. The family life I knew growing up is going away. It's disappearing. Divorce, permissiveness, relationships, gay marriages are destroying the house, the home for children as God planned it. All of this is Satan's tactics to destroy not only the home, but ultimately the nation. And that's what's wrong with our nation today. Our nation's in bad shape, folks, whether you realize it or not. There's so much anger, bitterness, hate, spite. It's the work of the devil, using people. Using people. The more decay of our society today is because of the condition of the home. Only a few people have time for God at home or at church today. No time for prayer. No time for Bible study. Other things capture people's attention. For far too many fathers are failing in leading their families as they should. And God has put the responsibility on the home, on the shoulders of the fathers, the husbands. Here's what God says, and will you turn in your Bible with me today as I'm talking about our Father. In Ephesians chapter 5, in the Word of God, has some important instructions for every single one of us. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Get that first statement there. Consider what he just said. Our nation today has no fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I didn't write that, folks. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He died for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Do I need to read that again? He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. As an individual, you're only a half a person. It takes two to be one. A male and a female. There's no other combination. This is a great mystery, Paul said. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Husbands, the Bible keeps saying over and over for you to love your wife. Did you know there's not but one or two times it tells the wife to love her husband? But the man, he has to keep telling. You know why? Because she likes to hear it. So, and the wife see that she reverts her husband. God's design of a father is to be a leader, the leader in the home. Men, God appointed you to be the leader. God appointed you to be the provider. God has appointed you to be the protector. Now let me talk to you about our Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father is perfect. I had a real good earthly father, but he wasn't perfect. But our Heavenly Father is a perfect father, and I want to thank him today for my earthly father who brought me to church when I remember he was toting me in his arms. I can remember that. My Heavenly Father, first of all, made this world that I'm living in. Amen? My Heavenly Father made this world. This world did not evolve over billions or trillions of years. It was made directly by my Heavenly Father. He made it out of nothing. You try to make a pan of biscuits with nothing. The other day I wanted some biscuits. Well, I ain't got no buttermilk. You know, you're stopped. But that wouldn't have stopped God, would it? He could have made some buttermilk. Our Heavenly Father made this world out of nothing because He has all power. And we are limited, very limited, aren't we? In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, is a declaration from the Word of God of what God did one day. The Bible says in Job 26:7, He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. And now, because of cameras from Hubble and other places and space rockets they've sent out that looks back on the earth, we can see the earth is just hanging out in space. What's holding it up out there like that? What's holding the moon up there like that? What's holding the sun and the stars? God is holding them there because God put them there and told them to stay there. They have to obey my Father. Amen? They got to obey my Father. Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands, Psalm 102 and verse 25 states. When we consider the wisdom and the power and the knowledge and the imagination of God, no wonder it can be said, how great thou art. That's our Heavenly Father. You just stop and think about it. I walk into these stores like Sam's or Walmart's and Lowe's and other big businesses, and I see all the different things that has been made by man. And God give man the ability to do it. Amen. If God hadn't give man that ability, he couldn't have done it. When we consider the wisdom and the power and the knowledge and the imagination, surely how great thou art, O God. God is the only one who can make or take nothing and make everything from it. Take nothing and make everything. Who would have thought that God would have scooped up some dirt and made a man? And then when the man died, he'd go back to dirt. You ever thought about that? A little girl was looking under her bed the other day. Her mama told her to clean up. She was looking under the bed. Mama, somebody's died. What? Yeah, there's the dust. No charge for that today. Number two, my Heavenly Father is a perfect Father. When He made the universe in creation, my Heavenly Father said, He saw everything He made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 1 and 31. Can you imagine how creation looked when God had finished creation? What a beautiful world this must have been. No pollution. The water was crystal clear, flowing through the rivers. Think about how beautiful this world must have been when it came from the hand of God. Notice how precisely the planets rotate year after year. Notice how every day the sun rises and the moon gives its light at night. Notice how the oceans stay within their set boundaries. You go stand on the coast and it looks like out there the water's higher than where you are. Why don't it come rushing in on you? God told it to stay there. That's scriptural. Notice how God has provided everything that man needs for his existence in this world. By giving men talent and abilities, he filled up Sam's, Walmart, Lowe's, and all these other places. God did that because of the needs we'd have in this world. And one more thing about my Heavenly Father, he never made a mistake. Have you ever made a mistake? My Heavenly Father has never made a mistake. Someone said that God made a mistake when he made the devil. God didn't make the devil. God made the most glorious of all creatures when he made Lucifer. The devil rebelled against his maker. Lucifer rebelled against his maker and became the devil. In Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 16, it tells us about that event. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? He was the most beautiful, given the most authority. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He wanted to take over God's place. Can you imagine that? That Lucifer wanted God's job? The creature wanted to take over the Creator? We have people today like that. Workers will try to outsmart their boss. Amen? I will sit upon the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, Lucifer said. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. He made an attempt to take over God's throne, but he wasn't able to carry it out. My Heavenly Father is a good Father. The psalmist said in Psalm 73:1, truly God is good to Israel, and even to such as are of a clean heart. God is a good God, folks. God's been good to you. God's been good to me. God is good to everybody. He wants to bless everybody, but sometimes we won't let him bless us by our own activity and choices. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:4, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. We read in our Sunday school lesson this morning that only a few animals God would allow man to eat under the Mosaic law. But now, in the church age, you can eat anything you want. You can eat anything. Only one condition. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. I seen people on TV the other day eating bugs. They were taking bugs and eating them. People eat snakes. They eat turtles. They eat lizards. People eat it. Hey. I can't get much beyond a hog. Amen. But the catch is, give God thanks first. I ain't going to tell you what my wife eats. Good gracious, what a combination. I'd hate to see her cookbook that she would write with all her recipes. Great day. Consider how God is taking care of me and you today. Isn't he good? Can't you say God is good? He's good to you? He's let you hear about salvation in Jesus Christ. Everybody has not had that blessing. Do you realize how blessed you are to be saved on your way to heaven? That one of these days you're going to walk down the street of gold? That you're going to be living forever in an eternal paradise? That one day you're never going to have another problem, another tear to fall from your eyes? You think God isn't good to you to save you and me? He's good. You can't praise Him enough. You can't thank Him enough. You can't be too committed to the Lord. Consider how God is taking care of you today. He allowed you to come through Lumberton, some of us. Others of you come from almost Shannon. That's kind of rough territory up that way. By the way, it's about rough everywhere nowadays, isn't it? And God brought you safely to the house of worship. Praise Him while you're sitting here today. Worship Him. Love Him. Enjoy Him. Draw nigh to Him. He's our Father in heaven. We're His children, church. Look how blessed we are to be members of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's the only church going to heaven. Do I need to say that again? The Church of Jesus Christ is the only people going to heaven. Casting all your care upon Him. I love this. For He careth for you. I can just feel God's love in that verse Peter wrote. God says, cast all your care upon Him. What concerns you? What troubles you? We're encouraged to cast our cares upon Him. God is a good God, and this is demonstrated by the provisions of life that He gives to us. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, verses 1 and verse 3, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. It doesn't mean we're scared to death of God when He talks about fearing God as God's people. No. But we should be afraid to sin against Him. That's what fear means. Be afraid to do wrong. That's what it is to fear God. Be afraid to do what is wrong in His sight. God pities us. He sees what kind of world we're living in. He knows what we have to put up with. He's aware of it. God our Father is good because He has given us His Word to instruct us in how to live, to have the best life possible while we're in this world. Think about how valuable this book is. There's not enough gold and diamonds or jewels or money in the world that could replace the value of this book right here. This is the only book that'll get you to heaven, or the only thing. God is good because He's given us His Son to die and pay for our sins that we may have salvation. God didn't have to send His Son to die for you and me, but God chose to do that. Now that's a lot of love, isn't it? Isn't that a lot of love? that he would even love us as sinners that much. Fourthly, my Heavenly Father loves everybody. Did you know God loves even his enemies? I'll tell you what, and I see that crowd in Washington and all those people that follow that philosophy, that half of that crowd's God, or more than half is God. It gets under my craw, gets my craw. My Father in heaven is a good Father because he loves everybody everywhere. I was thinking about when Jesus hung on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them that was crucifying him." And I said to myself, "Self, did God really forgive those people that crucified his son? His son asked him to." I don't know how to answer that, folks. I'll be honest. I know later Peter said in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, he said, if they'd have knew that was a Lord of glory that they were crucifying, they wouldn't have. But did God forgive those people? I don't know. See, you have to ask somebody more up than me. I know it was God's will his son be crucified now. I know that. Because he had to be crucified for me to be saved. Amen? God has no favorites. Did you know you're not God's favorite? Amen? Some people think they are, but they're not. God has given all of us talents and abilities to do our work in this world. He is more than good to all of us because he offers salvation to all people everywhere. God wants all people to be saved. God sees what sin has did to all people. Now, most people don't see what sin has did to them. They just think they're normal. That's the way it is. But they're deceived. That's the reason they think that way. They're deceived. The Bible says familiarly, for God so loved the world, that's everybody, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants everybody saved. But God lets everybody decide, do you want to be saved? It's up to you. Do you want to repent of sin? You want to ask for forgiveness through Jesus Christ that died in your place, paid your debt? We have to humble ourselves like a child. Say, Lord, I'm that sinner you died for. I want you to forgive me. I'm trusting you to be my Savior. My Heavenly Father loves me so much, he gave his only son to die for me so I could be saved. God is a real Father. There is no one who loves us like our Heavenly Father loves us, folks. You feel unloved today? Nobody don't care anything about you? Well, God loves you. God loves you. You feel discouraged today? God can give you comfort. God can encourage you. You feel helpless today? Cast yourself upon the mercies of the Lord. You have needs today? The Bible says, call on the Lord. Marvelous things he'll do for people that will humble themselves and call on him. Believing in him. Commit themselves to him. And live by this book. not by tradition, as our Sunday school, live by this book. This book means what it says about how we're to live, and that applies to every one of us. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 1 and 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Isn't that great? God is a God of mercy. He's a God of comfort. Oh, I've seen people, when they lose a loved one, so hurt, brokenhearted. But I've seen them when the scriptures are read, I see comfort go across their face. They raise up their head and they listen, because God's word brings comfort. God's word brings hope. God's word gives strength and encouragement, because it's God's word. It's the living word. Thank God for the word. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 68 and 5, a father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God is a father of the fatherless. God is the best father you'll ever have. Amen. We might have had a good father on earth, but God is the best father you'll ever have. He's a heavenly father, and the good news is he'll always be our heavenly father throughout eternity. Amen. He'll always be unchanging, a good heavenly father. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Think about that. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are not only saved, but we are adopted into God's family to be his sons and his daughters with the same rights that Jesus has. Ain't that something? Because we're going to share in the inheritance of Jesus Christ. The wisdom writer wrote in Proverbs 3:12, our heavenly Father corrects us when we do wrong for our own good. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. God corrects us when we stray from the straight and narrow. Because he loves us, he corrects us. Fifthly, my father, heavenly father, gave his best for me. When God set about a plan of salvation, he gave his best to secure our salvation. We should always give God our best. God requires our best. God don't want leftovers. Even among the sacrifices under the Mosaic system, God would not accept an animal that was not perfect. It had to be perfect. It couldn't be sick or weak or broken legs. God wants the best. He deserves the best, don't he? Because of who he is. That's why we should not only tithe, we should more than tithe. God commended his love towards us. Listen to this, folks. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. What a great verse. God commended his love towards us while we were still disobeying him. Because he knew what the blood of Jesus could do for you and for me. The blood of Jesus, and only the blood of Jesus, can wash us and cleanse us, make us acceptable. Nothing less than the blood of Jesus would have done it. That perfect sacrifice had to be slain. And Christ volunteered. Wednesday night we were studying about Isaac and Abraham. God told Abraham to offer up his only son Isaac as an offering unto the Lord. Abraham took the wood, what he needed, with Isaac. For 3 days they headed towards the place God told them to go, Mount Moriah. For 3 days they journeyed. Isaac didn't know what was going on. But finally, when they got within sight of their place, Isaac said to Abraham, his father, "We got the wood and the fire, but where's the sacrifice?" Abraham said, "God will provide a sacrifice." This coming Wednesday, we're going to see Abraham with his knife raised, ready to kill his only promised son. I can't hardly wait to Wednesday night. Abraham was believing what God told him to do. Kill his son. Abraham was going to do it. The son he loved so much. I want you to see God loved his son so much, but he went ahead and let him be killed on a cross because he loved us so much, and there was no other way for us to be saved. No other way. If Christ would have refused, we'd have no Savior. Amen. It's God's plan for all children to have a father. Look at our country today, at the fathers that's not fathers. They got a child or children. I've told you before of several I've seen boasting of they got 14 children but 7 wives or something like that. Hey, you wait till they meet a holy God. They won't be smiling a bit. Sin has come along and brought division and misery and grief. It is God's will that all children have a godly spiritual father. And God is holding every father responsible to raise up their children to know the Lord. God's holding every one of us that's fathered children responsible. You can't get out of it. God's going to judge every father for how they've raised their children. People are going to get the shock of their lives when they stand before a holy judge who they had dismissed and not taken serious. People's going to get shock of their life. Even us Christians, you're not going to be jumping down praising the Lord at that judgment. I'll assure you. Neither will I. God is holy. He calls us to be holy. He's our heavenly Father. We're to be his holy children. We better get in this book, start believing what it says. We better start living by what it says. This is not tradition. This is the Word of God. Let us thank God that He is our Heavenly Father. And loving God, we praise you today that no one but you would have did what's been done for us. There's no other that would have did what you have done. We praise you. We thank you. We love you. We need you. We pray you help us as fathers here in this church, that you'd help us to be the right kind of example and have a testimony that would inspire others to raise their children up for the Lord. And we thank and praise you in Jesus' saving name. Amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts today. You may respond as God speaks and deals with your heart. Our altar is always open for you to come talk to the Lord. Draw nigh to God, the Bible says, He'll draw nigh to you.